A teenage prankster's computer virus spreading through floppy disks. A doctor's mosquito theorem that would save millions. A market crash that wiped out Nobel Prize winners' fortunes. What connects these seemingly unrelated events? They all follow the same mathematical rules. Rules that govern how everything from diseases to ideas to violence ripples through our interconnected world. Long before COVID-19 made reproduction numbers dinner table conversation, mathematicians and epidemiologists were quietly mapping the invisible architecture of contagion, discovering that bank failures, viral tweets, and measles outbreaks share a common DNA. Ronald Ross spent years in colonial India dissecting mosquitoes to prove they transmitted malaria. His breakthrough was mathematical. You don't need to eliminate every mosquito. There's a threshold where recoveries outpace infections and malaria fades naturally. This mosquito theorem revolutionized disease control. Ross modeled infection mechanics, predicting outcomes and testing interventions on paper before real-world application. Building on this, William Kermack and Anderson McKendrick created the SIR model in the 1920s, dividing populations into susceptible, infected, and recovered groups. Their framework revealed that epidemics peak not when everyone is infected, but when enough people gain immunity that transmission collapses. This is herd immunity, requiring about 95% coverage for measles, 80% for polio. Central to this is R, the reproduction number, how many people one infected person typically infects. Above one, outbreaks explode. Below one, they fizzle. Measles exceeds 20 in susceptible populations. Ebola ranges from 1 to 2. Understanding R's components, duration, opportunities for contact, transmission probability, and susceptibility gives officials precise intervention targets. Isaac Newton lost a fortune in the South Sea bubble. Centuries later, Nobel laureates at long-term capital management watched their models collapse in 1998, requiring a $3.6 billion bailout. The 2008 crisis revealed how correlation determines whether risks stay isolated or spread catastrophically. Banks had borrowed life insurance models to bundle mortgages, assuming housing markets weren't correlated nationally. When prices plummeted everywhere simultaneously, the mathematical illusion shattered. Financial bubbles mirror disease outbreaks. Specialists invest quietly, awareness spreads, attracting wider participation, then media coverage ignites frenzy. Prices soar irrationally before collapsing. Bitcoin exemplified this, rocketing to nearly $20,000 in December 2017 before losing 80% within a year. The pre-2008 banking system amplified contagion perfectly. Just 66 banks handled 75% of $1.3 trillion in daily U.S. transfers. When Lehman fell, it had over 1 million counterparties, a tangled web where no one knew who owed what. Now regulators apply epidemic theory. Central banks must hold more capital, risky trading gets ring-fenced, and derivatives flow through central hubs rather than creating countless direct connections. Where we gather shapes what spreads. Pixar designs buildings with central atriums to maximize inadvertent collisions between departments. The Francis Crick Institute invested $650 million partly to engineer unexpected interactions. The Polymod study tracked 7,000-plus Europeans, recording every contact. The patterns? We cluster with similar-aged people, children have the most contacts, and school holidays dramatically reduce disease spread. During the 2009 UK flu pandemic, the gap between spring and autumn peaks perfectly matched school closures, when children's daily contacts drop 40%. Your infection risk extends beyond your immediate circle. It depends on your contacts' contacts and theirs beyond. American studies reveal people without children spend weeks yearly fighting viral infections. Those with one child are infected about a third of the year. Those with two children carry viruses more than half the time. Geography matters less than you'd think. In 2009, flu reached distant China before nearby Barbados because airline passenger flows, not map distance, determine spread. Returning to Chicago in 1994, after combating disease epidemics in Africa, Gary Sletkin noticed violence claiming over 800 lives annually, clustered exactly like cholera outbreaks. While medicine abandoned miasma theory for germ theory, our approach to violence remains stuck in moralistic thinking about bad people rather than treating it as contagious. Violence shows all epidemic hallmarks: incubation periods, clustering in time and location, dose response effects. Suicide clusters following media coverage saw a 10% rise after Robin Williams' death. The cure violence approach treats violence like disease, intervening through social networks and achieving significant shooting reductions across multiple cities. In Glasgow, once Europe's murder capital, Karen McCluskey's violence reduction unit deployed violence interrupters in emergency departments, provided gang members employment training alongside consequences, and supported vulnerable children. Violent crime plummeted. Yet U.S. gun violence research faced deliberate sabotage. The 1996 Dickey Amendment prevented CDC funds from promoting gun control, freezing research for 2 decades. Congressman Jay Dickey eventually reversed his position. We need to turn this over to science and take it away from politics. Following London's 2011 riots, researchers discovered small differences in individual thresholds determine whether incidents remain isolated or cascade into widespread chaos. Jonah Peretti's 2001 email exchange with Nike about customizing shoes with Sweatshop accidentally launched his career understanding online contagion, eventually leading to BuzzFeed. Yet Duncan Watts challenged the popular influencer theory. His replication of Milgram's Small World experiment with 25,000 email chains showed messages didn't flow through consistent influencers. Twitter studies confirmed even well-connected users rarely created large cascades. Most online content never becomes popular. A 2016 study found 95% of 620 million tweets were never shared. BuzzFeed's actual success came from big seed marketing, starting with massive initial exposure to compensate for modest contagiousness. Microsoft researchers, analyzing nearly a billion Twitter cascades, could explain less than half the variability in popularity. Randomness played an enormous role. Social media creates echo chambers, where contradictory opinions rarely penetrate. The anti-vaccination movement exemplifies this, congregating around the debunked claim that MMR vaccines cause autism. Andrew Wakefield's discredited paper, amplified by British media, led to decreased vaccination rates and measles outbreaks. Digital connectivity now enables vaccine myths to cross language barriers, threatening the 95% coverage needed to prevent measles resurgence. In our hyper-connected world, contagion mathematics illuminates financial crises, violence prevention, and information spread. Like nuclear physics, Gies tools offer enormous benefits, but potential for harm. The 2018 Cambridge Analytica scandal revealed how data could weaponize social manipulation. Technology companies assume massive datasets automatically solve problems, but Silicon Valley's move fast and break things mentality collides with public health realities. Many tech approaches fail by prioritizing disruption over engagement, evident in failed COVID-19 contact tracing apps and oversimplified disease models. The biggest challenges are often practical. Sophisticated Ebola tracking systems proved useless without basic medical supplies. As infectious diseases decline globally, attention shifts to other contagious threats: suicide, violence, misinformation, extremism. The most significant moments in outbreak analysis occur when patterns surprise us or exceptions break supposed rules. Understanding contagion's invisible connections illuminates the fundamental architecture of our interconnected existence. The question isn't whether contagion will shape our future, but whether we'll understand it well enough to guide where it leads.